This is A Story of Sorts, the podcast mostly about bookish stuff.
Footnotes.
Hello everyone, Karina here. On today's episode, I'm going to talk about the books I've read in March and a few updates regarding the digital zine. A few months ago, I started a digital zine for the podcast, which I was super excited about. And that was during the month of January, when I was home due to the pandemic. I was super excited about this magazine. I was doing everything all by myself, just creating all the blurbs and, you know, with all the beautiful colors and book covers and all. And I was super excited to start it off and to do this every month. But as February basically just flew by and I started working again, I kind of realized in March that it was starting to become a reason for me to stress out. So last month, as I was kind of trying to piece together the magazine, and I realized that I was still doing the magazine referring to the month of February, I just decided that this project was not viable for me at the moment. So I decided that, you know, in Marie Kondo kind of fashion, if it does not spark joy, I am not going to do it. And I hope this isn't a disappointment to anyone who is listening. I don't know if anyone was actually reading the magazine or read the magazine, but I am planning on actually doing something a little bit as a summary of season 2. So instead of having a monthly zine, which is a lot of work, and I would have to work a lot now to keep up with it, and it would really make me stress, and it wouldn't really make me that happy to continue to do that. I just decided that I am going to try and every month just take note of the things that I want to include for copy to be released digitally for free again at the end of the year, with all of the interviews of the season, maybe the favorite books that I've read this year, the books that I've talked about in the podcast. So I thought that would be something that might be more interesting and would be better for me. And again, I am really sorry that I was super excited and talking about it and saying, oh yeah, monthly digital zine, and now 2 months in, I gave up on it. But I do think that especially these things that I am doing for fun, I don't think I should continue to do them unless they are actually being fun and not a struggle, not that if they feel like work and a work that I don't really like doing, I don't want to pursue it. Or as Anna would say on TikTok, I don't want it. And yes, I am putting my hair behind my ear. People who are on TikTok and who follow her account know what I'm talking about. Anyway, but the podcast is going to continue. So all the information that I had on the digital zine was in either case on Instagram, it was on the footnotes episodes that I do every month to talk about the books that I've read the month before. There were a few extras in the zine, but you can always check Instagram, where I am very active, to see what I'm doing, to see the books that I am recommending. You can also follow me on Book Riot, I write for Book Riot, to check out other book lists that I put together for the website once in a while. Therefore, without further ado, let's go into the list of books that I have read in March. The first book was Homegoing by Ya Hyasi. I actually read this book with a buddy, so it was like a buddy read. It was with Sophia from the website Bran Morrigan. She is actually my patron on Patreon, so thank you so much for that, Sophia, and thank you so much for reading Homegoing with me. I thought the book was amazing. It isn't a very long book, and it's basically an intergenerational story. It talks about different people. Some of them are interrelated because they are family. And it starts in Africa, if I'm not mistaken, in Ghana. I've read it a while ago, and like at the beginning of March, and I've read many books in the meantime, so I kind of forget it. But I think it starts in Ghana, and it kind of ends in the United States. And it's basically talking about colonization and the repercussions of colonization and the lives of these people. The chapters are small, and each chapter focuses on one person, mostly. So I thought it was really, really interesting, and it's very complicated. And I talked with Sophia at the end, when we both had finished reading the book, how difficult it was to review it. Because do I love this book? Yes, I do. But it's so complex, and it talks about so many things, and especially race, that it's a bit difficult to actually know what to say, or it's difficult to say enough to talk about the book. In a sense, it kind of reminded me the structure, anyway, of Girl, Woman, Other by Bernardine Evaristo, because it also has chapters and, in a way, most of the characters connect to each other. And again, it touches very different subjects, but I really liked it, and I think it is a quite important read. The Office of Historical Corrections by Daniel Evans was another book that was in my radar. It was also offered via Libro FM with their ALCs program, and I saw so many good reviews and people saying that the stories were funny as well, so I picked it up in audiobook form. And I enjoyed it, but again, and I said this before with Milk, Blood, Heat, the problem with short stories, which is my problem, not their problem, and I mean, I have a problem with books in general, that I read them. I know a few bits about the book, I know how they made me feel and if I like them or not, but memorizing the story, or little, you know, details about the story, that's a bit more difficult. And when it comes to short stories, because there are so many stories in one book, it's even more difficult. But I did think this was funny. There is one or another story that really still stuck to me, and I liked it. I've read so far this year 3 short stories collections, so which means that next month I'm going to talk about another one. And I have been enjoying it. I think it's a nice way to just, even sometimes when you are in a reading slump, to just go for it, because then you can take your time to read each story and to think about it, and without it being a whole huge plot. And I like it. And you can also kind of make things up for yourself. How do you think the story went ahead? The next book I've read was Yolk by Mary H.K. Choi. I absolutely loved this book. It's a book about sisters, which I did not know when I started it. And I actually made a TikTok based on this book, starting off from this book, with other books that have a very strong relationship between sisters in them. And I don't know, I was so surprised by the story, because it's about the main character is a young woman, she's in her 20s, and then she has this strained relationship with her sister and her family, and they kind of come together in a, I would say, unconventional way, but maybe it is a conventional way, because a lot of relationships between siblings is basically, I will kill you, but I will help you hide the body, right? It's what most people say. And in this book, it makes me think a little bit about it. I really loved the descriptions, the writing, the life of the main character, and the things she struggles with. So yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. This list is also going to be a list with a lot of 5 stars. I don't know, maybe, again, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why I've been loving books so much. I'm really, really happy that it's the case that I have so many 4 and 5 stars on my reads. But yeah, you're gonna hear me say again, I really enjoy this book a lot, which is something that I know I say a lot, but it's true. So it's just the truth. The next one was probably my favorite of the month, or actually my favorite of the month at the same time as another native read, because this book was written by a native writer and it's called The Seed Keeper by Diane Wilson. And oh my god, it is so good. There was a part at the beginning that kind of, you know, made me step back from it a little bit, or to kind of think, am I going to like this? Because there is a relationship that has a lot of years in between, but the story does not take place in the present. And after, it kind of makes sense because, well, you know, there are a lot of people who have relationships with differences in years. And the main character was, I think she was 18. And he was in his 30s, but it did not put me off enough, let's say, to stop reading the book. And I think it is important also for the story to have this discrepancy, this difference of ages. But everything else about the book was absolutely perfect. And the main character is this woman who is also native, and it has a lot of talk of farm and nature, being alone, loneliness, missing people. And the writing really reminded me a lot of Braiding Sweetgrass, because it was very poetic, very beautiful. And you learn a lot of native history. The next book was Fishwives by Sally Bellarose. This was an e-arc, and I apologize if I forget to say that some books that I'm reading or that I've read are still advanced reading copies, so some of them are not out yet. So if you search for any of the titles and you see that it's not yet out, it's because I've gotten, luckily, an advanced reading copy that I was able to read in exchange for a review. Fishwives is a sapphic novel about two lesbian women who find each other. I think the first part of the book is in the 60s and how they grow together and the things they go through, the hardships, but also the love between the two of them. And I really enjoyed it. I gave it 4 stars because sometimes the prose wasn't as interesting, but I still wanted to continue to read the story. Because I really wanted to know what was going to happen with those two women and their relationship and the struggles that they went through with, you know, an homophobic world, basically, especially back in the 60s. So it was really interesting. The next one is then the one that is tied with The Seed Keeper as for my favorite book of the month, and it's Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bulley. I listened to this, again, via Libre Femme as an audiobook. I went in knowing nothing about the story. I think I had heard the blurb before, I had read the blurb before somewhere, but I don't remember where, and I completely forgot by the time I actually picked up the audiobook. And oh my god, it's a murder mystery, like a crime mystery, and it's so good. It's young adult, but I think everybody would love this story. I loved it, and it was so engaging because there's this native girl who is the main character, and stuff with drugs start happening in her community and in her school. And you think, oh, this is going to be like a romance book, maybe. And then, bam, someone's dead. And it's so good, the whole investigation. I was, again, like I usually am during crime or murder mysteries, trying to figure out who was the murderer. And every time I thought it was someone else, and this happens a lot to me. I like to think that I'm a bit like Sherlock, but for books, I mostly am not. So when I do guess, it's mostly an exception. And in this one, in a sense, I was actually right, but I didn't know up until the end that I was actually right. It was just so good. I couldn't have thought of a better ending, of a better resolution for the whole mystery. And if you have the chance to pick up this book, do it, because you also learn a lot about native culture, but it's also just like a murder mystery story. It's absolutely amazing. The next one, Butcher by Natasha T. Miller. I've been trying to read more poetry because I really like poetry, but I think poetry books can be a bit tough to read because, again, they are not like a novel that you pick up from one point to the other, you know, from cover to back. So sometimes I have a tendency to pick up a book and forget about it. So I've been trying to read more poetry, like when I'm too tired to maybe read an actual novel and to pay attention to the plot a lot. Poetry is more calming, and then I can read like one or two poems and be done with it, and then maybe go to bed and go to sleep. So this one was a story about love, about queer love, and about race, and I really liked it. And poetry books are obviously not easy to review, the same way as short stories are not. But I truly enjoy this, and it made me want to pick up more and more poetry, and I have a few books on my to-be-read that I want to pick up on the next months. Entitled How Male Privilege Hurts Women by Kat Mayne. This book was a choice for Boston Young, which is the bookstore I work at, Educate Yourself Book Club. It's a book club that Bookstore is hosting, and we have decided to read each month a different theme. So feminism, racism, fatphobia, ableism, etc. And this month we are reading then feminism. And to be honest, in this book, she mentions a lot of books that I've read as well, like Roxane Gay, Carolina Criado Perez with Invisible Women, Chanel Miller, and they were all books that I really enjoyed, even though, to be honest, Invisible Women, I think it lacks the fact that it's very binary. So she's basically complaining about how women don't have the care that they should have because there is no data. But if you think about like trans women or trans men or whatever, there's probably even less data. So she does talk about it when she presents the book. She does mention that this is on the binary that she's talking about, but I still think that there was a lot missing because of that. And in title, even though it talks about a lot of the issues that are brought on that book and in other books that I've read about feminism, it's a bunch of essays. It talks about situations that happened in real life, like the Kavanaugh trial and Chanel Miller's trial. But it does mention non-binary and trans people, or in this case, trans women and non-binary people, which I thought was really interesting because you don't see this a lot. And it was refreshing, and it's how these kind of essays and this kind of studies should be done. So I was angry as I was listening to it, which always happens with feminism or racism, you know, non-fiction books. You cannot help but being angry at things and how the world works and how things could be so good for everyone. But it does the job. It really teaches you a lot. So if you are thinking about learning about feminism, I think this would be a very good book to start as well. It's not very long. It's simple enough, the language, which I think is very important because the message has to come across. And then you have, and she mentions, like I said, a few books that you can pick up afterwards. So I really recommend it. The last book of the month was Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu. I picked up this book for a book club, not realizing that I already had plans on the day of said book club, but I'm really happy that I picked it up because the book seems long, but the book is also written as a movie script because that's the whole thing of the book, actually. It makes fun of race and how race is sometimes perceived, but the book is written as if it was then a movie. And at some point, you cannot really separate what is actually the real life of the person, of the main character, and what is a movie that is actually being filmed. And it's a very sarcastic book, but sarcasm in this case only works. And it's like the situation of it's funny because it's true. It only works because of the way people deal with race and how certain races are stereotyped. So it is sarcastic because this is actually something that happens. So the book reads pretty fast. It is a great thought on race, especially Asian people and the way that they are perceived in the United States, for example, although of course it's everywhere. And if you look at Dutch history, for example, there is a lot of racism towards Asian people as well. Obviously, there is, you know, everywhere. So I think it is a brilliant book. And if you haven't read a lot of books by Asian writers or American Asian writers, I would really recommend this one as well. It's a super fast read and it's super interesting. So got nothing to lose. And that's it for today. These were the books that I've read in March, which, to be fair, I still think it's quite a good amount. I've been doing very well reading-wise. It's actually been surprising to myself how many books I have managed to read every month. And I've been reading amazing stories. I will leave, as usual, all the titles that I spoke about on this episode on the show's notes, and you can access today's show's notes via my pod page, which you can find, like usual, along with all of other social media links at linktree.com/Karina Pereira. I'm mostly posting things on Instagram, so if you aren't following me there, please do so, because there I post more often and I talk about the books I am reading at the time on my stories and on my timeline more often. If you have enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting A Story of Sorts on Patreon. Patreon is a platform which allows you to contribute monthly to the podcast in exchange for extra content, such as early access to episodes, a shout out at the end of an episode and on Instagram, and choosing a theme for me to talk about on the podcast. You can become a patron at patreon.com/astoryofsorts. If you don't have the means to support me monthly, I would really be happy if you would simply leave a review and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. That helps people find me and my podcast. I will be back next Tuesday with another interview, this time with Crystal Maldonado, to talk about her young adult debut, Fat Chance, Charlie Vega. I'll talk to you then. And thank you for listening.